KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's executive order to dismantle the Department of Education will impact tens of millions of Americans paying back student loans. The Department of Education currently oversees more than $1.5 trillion in student loans. The White House says those loans will now be handled by the Small Business Administration. Bankrate's Andrew Pentis says for borrowers, the best advice now.
Certainly, student loan refinancing and consolidation with a private lender is an option. But for most federal student loan borrowers, it's best to wait right now and wait till the dust settles, because once you do refinance with a private lender, you'll give up any of those federal loan protections that are key to repayment.
On social media this morning, the president called people vandalizing Tesla dealerships terrorists, as many have criticized Elon Musk's involvement in the government. Two 19-year-olds and a 16-year-old are dead after a shooting at a park in Las Cruces, New Mexico, that left 14 others hurt. That Friday shooting still under investigation. This is ABC News. Legendary boxer and businessman George Foreman died Friday at 76 in Texas. Foreman won an Olympic gold medal, lost the Rumble in the Jungle to Muhammad Ali, regained the world heavyweight title at age 45, and made tens of millions of dollars selling electric grills bearing his name. Full flight operations have resumed at Heathrow Airport in London. It was shut down because of power problems caused by a nearby substation fire, impacting the travel plans of millions. Nationwide, the number of measles cases now surpasses all cases in the U.S. for all of last year, says ABC's Rena Roy.
Officials say most of the cases are in Texas and New Mexico, where there are ongoing outbreaks. And it is important to note, most people infected are unvaccinated or have unknown vaccination status. The CDC recommends 2 MMR vaccine doses as the best way to protect against measles, mumps, and rubella.
There are more than 370 cases. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Did you know there's a city in Wisconsin that goes all in on the idea of celebrating St. Patrick's Day for more than a week? Members of the Shamrock Club of New London, about an hour west of Green Bay, lead the festivities, which brings thousands of visitors to the area. But do you know what has officially kicked it all off for more than 40 years? Here's club member Ryan Lanning with the answer.
The Monday of our St. Patrick's week is we always have Leprechaun Day, and the leprechauns are responsible for changing the population signs symbolically from New London to New Dublin, and then they visit various schools and nursing homes. And we bring smiles more than anything, and we like to enlighten our community. That's part of what we're about. And truthfully, I think everybody looks forward to seeing us, seeing the green suits and all the mischief and shenanigans we like to pull. It's just a great time for everybody.
Even the city council votes to make New Dublin the official name for New London this time of year. That is one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Indigenous women are at higher risk of violence and homicide than anyone else in the country. Judith Ruiz Branch has the story.
A new study shows that intimate partner violence disproportionately impacts Indigenous women more than any other ethnic or racial group in the U.S. The murder rate for Native American women and girls is up to 10 times higher than the national average, according to the U.S. Department of Justice, yet they account for less than 1% of the population. Desiree Todi with the Center Against Sexual and Domestic Abuse is a member of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa in Wisconsin.
And there's jurisdictional issues that come into play as to how things are investigated, how things are tried, and there's always racism. There's less attention paid to the individuals that some of these things happen to.
The Wisconsin Department of Justice created a task force to combat violence against Native women across the state after legislation that would have addressed these issues failed to pass. Poor tracking and data collection are just some of the many issues that contribute to the epidemic amongst Indigenous women. During a multi-state march last month, Todi read a list of names of Indigenous people from Minnesota who had died from domestic violence. No such list currently exists for Wisconsin, and Todi says she's working on changing that.
I have 3 daughters that I want them to grow up as strong Native women, and I want them to grow up safely as strong Native women. I mean, this is their futures on the line. This is their ability to walk down a street safely.
Research shows Indigenous women also face significant barriers when seeking help after experiencing domestic violence. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice start to the weekend. Sunny skies with highs in the upper 30s today. For tonight, increasing clouds with snow possibly mixing with some freezing rain late, a low near 24. A mixed bag on Sunday. Rain, snow, some freezing rain possible, and breezy with a high near 40. Currently, it's 17 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we've got Angela Lang from Block here as our co-host for the day. Also, Representative Darren B. Madison, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Lewis, darling. It's so nice to have you back where you belong.
I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, and I wouldn't be the host without the hostess with the hostess, Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
The traveling lady of Wisconsin, cruising around this state, catching catfish with her hands.
Yes.
Making the most of the great outdoors of Wisconsin. Danielle Fairman's in the studio with us today. We've been together a long time, Dan.
A very long time.
And, you know,
I feel like we're best friends.
Aww.
That's so nice.
That's so very nice of you to say.
You guys should celebrate your friendiversary.
Our friendiversary.
When is our friendiversary?
I haven't the slightest idea. I've known you for the better part of 20 years.
Yes.
Though, so it's a long time ago. And we've got Ellie Mae Lawton, the chefferie of the show, the classically trained French chef, who is not only a French chef, but she puts her money where her mouth is and gets out into the woods and hunts and fishes and really is an outdoorsman. And we have a guest this week that I am so excited about. It's a repeat appearance from her. And I just want to say, I would have a repeat appearance by Wendy Christensen every week.
Yeah, I second that. I second this motion.
I have never hosted a show where I literally wanted to talk less than when Wendy Christensen.
What do you mean show? Is that like a whole life situation or just the show?
No, I mean, if she was around me in life, I'd want to talk less.
Same.
Woman is so interesting and has lived such a fascinating, fun, adventuresome life.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the privilege, the pleasure, and the honor of getting her into the studio, into the fishbowl out here in Concord, Wisconsin, WFSH, for Raised in Wisco, which you can hear on all your Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin, Saturdays at 11:30. And we are going and we are growing. And Wendy Christensen is not only a world-class award-winning taxidermist. She's a world hunter adventurer. She taxidermied Samson, the iconic gorilla from the Milwaukee County Zoo, which will live on forever in the Wisconsin Historical Society's version of the museum, which is going to be changing. We're going to talk about that today. And she, hair by hair, piece by piece, put together Samson, which is honestly one of the most beautifully done pieces of taxidermy I have ever had the privilege of seeing. That animal looks real and alive when you see it, and she won worldwide awards for it. Wendy Christensen is with us. And we're so privileged to have you here, Wendy.
Yes,
you
we are.
Really have lived
thank you.
10 lifetimes in one.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
So we're going to get to that. I think we should jump right off the bat because the weather is changing in Wisconsin. And this is one of my favorite. Look, it's no mistake that my favorite time is during the hunting and fishing season in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
And right now is that little gap between hunting seasons. rights, right? But I don't think people realize this is one of my favorite parts of the part of the season you can't hunt, and that game fish isn't open, and I'm going to tell you why. Nothing brings the critters out of the woods like the change of weather.
The rain that we have been getting is intense.
We had some intense rain. We've had beautiful days, and I can't even believe the sunsets lately.
I know.
But I'm going to start right off the bat with my weekly WISCO, which was turkey scouting this past week. And you can say, well, that was yours last week or might have been the week before.
I think that's going to be the same every week for like 2 months now.
But you know what I did? Right. But you know what I did? Well, first of all, the leftover turkey tags went on sale this week.
So they did.
If you didn't get one today, as you're listening to the show, you can go on and buy them for all zones. There's a lot of them left. If you are trying to get involved in the outdoors, if you want to take that first step, turkey hunting is a great way to do it.
Oh, Jess. Did you get your leftover?
We're going to get Jess a leftover tag, and we're going to get her back out. She has turkey hunted. But make sure that you get out there, get a turkey tag, and give that a try. My weekly WISCO this week, I'm going to say I was turkey scouting, but one of the coolest things, I saw 3 bald eagles I was turkey scouting. Ooh. And I saw so many nesting pairs of Canada geese. I saw mergansers and buffleheads. I saw, the birds this year are incredible. And if we keep the water, we're going to have a heck of a fall for waterfowl. So that is my That's my weekly WISCO. Danielle, what do you got?
My weekly WISCO is going out and trap shooting because
fun.
I have learned from last duck season, waterfowl season, that I need practice.
I think we could all say that, honestly.
And the wonderful thing about, Josh.
Oh, thank you. you better not let Josh hear.
Josh, she couldn't come up with anything, so you're out. Yeah. It was for Josh.
Josh. I love that laugh. That's funny.
The wonderful
thing about Josh is that he is a trap coach. So,
I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, that's half wonderful and half not wonderful because I'm not really good at being told what to do. So,
can't imagine a tomato
situation. Like,
I can't imagine that, Danielle. I've known her for way longer than you, and I really can't imagine that.
Sorry, Mom.
For some reason, I feel bad for Josh right now.
But it's nice. It was fun. It was beautiful weather. So
how'd you do?
he did really well.
Meaning Josh.
Yeah. He did really well. He had 38, 39
out of 50.
Yeah, I had like, I don't know, in the teen, like 19, maybe 20.
I think I shot at 50. Okay. I shot at 50 of them one year. I started out and I got 4. Doing a lot better than me.
His son Luke he's in Trap League at Kettle Moraine. He got like 47.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's really good.
That's impressive.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
But yeah, that was my weekly WISCO. I'm playing in the garden.
I think that's a great one. Wendy, were you able to get outside at all this week, or did you notice anything interesting about the great outdoors?
A lot of birds moving too. It's cool to hear the red-winged blackbirds back and the cranes. Mm-hmm. Oh, did you notice how many snow geese and swans and everything were migrating? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I saw swans too.
Just early part of the week, they were just pouring back.
Yeah.
And I heard speckle belly geese. Snow geese, everything migrating.
You brought up a really good point, and I want to let you out there, if you're a listener and you're maybe not all into waterfowl hunting or, you know, the species differentiation. I think most people in Wisconsin think when they look at the sky and they see a V, they're thinking Canada geese, right? Yes. But if you actually look at some of the Vs right now, you'll see Vs up in the sky of swans, of white geese, you know, the snow geese and the blue geese and the Ross's geese. Mm-hmm. It's just really cool time of year. And I mean, I've mentioned it to people. The geese. A lot of those Vs that are flying over your head are definitely not geese. Danielle, do you know why one of the longer sides of one of the sides of the V of flying waterfowl is longer?
Because I shot the other one.
I know the answer. I know the answer to this.
Because I killed a mate a long time ago.
Wendy. Wendy, what's the answer? Why is one of the lines longer in Waterfowl Flying Over?
Because there's more geese in it.
There's the dad joke, the first dad joke.
That is awesome.
Ellie Mae Lawton, did you get outside this week at all?
I stayed home and studied dad jokes. Just kidding. I got out hiking a few times and I rode my horses.
Oh, nice.
I was pretty happy with that, even though the weather was a little uncooperative. Still got out there and hammered through.
Yeah, all that mud from the horses, though.
Yeah.
Don't you have to bathe them every single time they come in, or no?
Oh, no.
Oh, I don't
absolutely
know.
I like to
comb them and all his chunks of hair come out.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's fantastic. Producer Jess, did you get outside at all or notice anything interesting from the outdoors of Wisconsin this week?
I sure did. I went out on a couple really nice hikes around my house. One of my favorite things to do is just pack a backpack and go out. And I live close to a bunch of parks. I live really close to the lakefront and the Oak Leaf Trail and all the little parks that spin off of that. And then just a couple days ago, we had one of the most wonderful early spring storms. And I just was able to listen to it for a little bit. And it was lovely.
It was lovely.
That is awesome. I have to say, too, anywhere you live in the state, from you can live in the inner city of Milwaukee or the city of Madison or in a rural area, all you have to do is put in your Google search parks near me, and you will find awesome places to hike in the woods. If you're in the dead center of the city of Milwaukee, you're going to have you'll find a place to have an awesome hike in the middle of the woods. 5 minutes from where you are.
It is true.
It's incredible.
We're very blessed with parks.
It's incredible the way Wisconsin has really set up their park systems. We have today, we had such a good time with the all food show, the all cuisine show that we did last week.
Ooh, we did.
It was so good.
I'm so excited about that. We're going to make cooking and eating wild game and domestic game and recipes a bigger and bigger part of the show, because we've had great response to that. And there's never a time that you shouldn't talk about how to take things from the field to the table or just how to make good food. Everybody's got to eat. So it's great. We're going to have a couple recipes today coming up. Danielle, where can people listen to us?
You can listen to us on civicmedia.us. Search for Raised in Wisco. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube to see our beautiful faces. And then you can follow us on Spotify and the Apple. Search for all of our previous episodes, because you're going to want to listen to the previous episode of Wendy Christensen 2 episodes ago to catch up for today.
Yes, you're definitely going to want to catch up with Wendy from 2 weeks prior to today. And today, I cannot wait. We're going to talk to Wendy about the new museum that's coming, whether Samson's going to be there, her taxidermy work, how to see it, how to learn more about it. We're going to talk to her about some specifics. She even worked on Body World, which was the traveling exhibit that featured real human bodies.
Yes.
Creepy. And cool all together. So cool. That's what you get when you listen to Raised in Wisco.
I feel the broom sway from the band. Playing one of our old favorite songs from way back when. So, golly gee, fellas, have a little faith in me, fellas. Golly, never go away, promise you never go away. Golly, never go away again.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We acknowledge the courageous efforts of Dickie Chappelle. She defied expectations to become the first female war correspondent, reporting from the front lines of World War II and the Korean conflict. Editors at Life Magazine and National Geographic called the Milwaukee area woman one of the most respected reporters of her time. Chappelle was 40 years old when she took up parachuting. She then made history by becoming the first woman to be approved by the Pentagon to jump into combat with American troops. Sadly, while on assignment in Vietnam in 1965, she was killed by a landmine. She was the first correspondent, male or female, to die in action. Her fearless pursuit of truth in the face of danger remains an inspiration to us all. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Brittany Merlau.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
That's the boat that's leaving, oh, soon for New York. Come with me, that's where we belong. Sister, you and me can live that high life in New York. Come with me, there you can't go wrong. Sister, I'll buy you the swellest mansion up on Upper Fifth Avenue. And through all we go strut, we'll go strut, and there'll be nothing too good for you. I'll dress you in silks and satin in the latest Paris style.
If you're not listening to Raised in Wisco, you're missing out. This show will bring you the wacky, the wild, and,
and the true.
And the true. Yes, we'll bring you true. And I'm going to tell you something. There is definitely an educational component of this show.
Yes, not from me.
When Wendy is here, yes.
Danielle, that, first of all, that's not true. We learn very often how absolutely crazy you are.
That's true. This is very true. See, there's the true part of the show.
My name's Joel Clayfish. I have the honor and privilege of hosting Raised in Wisco alongside my co-host and my forever friend, Danielle.
Aww.
Hearts to you, Danielle. Danielle, who runs heavy equipment for a living, just about chopped her finger off today.
I did.
We are very glad you still have your finger, although I think you should make sure to take care of that.
You're going to lose a nail for sure.
It makes me nervous looking at that, Danielle. And if you're watching,
if you could cover that up, please.
Facebook Live.
Don't scare it right here.
Don't scare people on Facebook.
Ellie Mae Lawton's here. She's going to talk recipes with us as we do every week, because at the end of the day, what kind of show is Raised in Wisco?
It's a cooking show.
It's a cooking show.
We might even touch on wound care.
We're diversifying.
That's good.
Where's Alex when we need her? Alex.
Busy tonight.
Alex.
I need
Alex.
You.
Shout out to Alex.
Yeah.
Shout out our resident nurse. She's the Raised in Wisco medical advisor.
There we go.
Need a whole medical team.
We do need a medical team. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm going to have a stomach ache from laughing after this show.
After all that alligator and charcuterie board we just had.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
It was delicious. Good.
Now our pregame for the show, folks, is eating. Wendy Christensen, that's who you just heard from right there. She's been on the show with us. She is, not only is she an unbelievable world traveler and adventurer, she is also the person responsible for taxidermying. Is that a word, Wendy? Taxidermying?
Sure.
It is today.
It is now.
She taxidermied Samson, the world famous gorilla from the Milwaukee County Zoo, who ended up at the Milwaukee Historical Museum and is going to be part of the new museum. But Wendy also worked on Body Worlds, which is the traveling exhibit of actual human beings.
Yeah.
Creepy, but cool and awesome.
It is super creepy. I would have nightmares. Like I get nightmares very easily. I don't hate them because I have a very creative imagination. These are the weird nightmares. But I just watching you on the website, it just like, you literally took someone's head off their head and put it on something else. It's identical. Like, there's no way I could tell the difference.
I need, you know what?
I would tickle it.
We're going to talk about Samson, and we're going to talk about the museum. But Danielle brought it up.
Can we talk about King Tut's horses?
Yes.
Absolutely. I want to talk about King Tut's horses.
Girl wore her horse sweater.
Did you wear all? You have a lucky horseshoe on.
And Ellie, I'm a horse girl.
Love that.
Bye, Joel.
Okay, so Wendy,
let's
just let him go. I want to hear. I would listen to Wendy 24 hours a day.
Yes.
Let's real quick though. I mean, tell me, Body Worlds, what is going through a person's mind when they are literally working on the remains of human beings? Hard phrase. Human beings' remains.
Well, I didn't actually like work on a fresh human being, just so you know.
No. I understand.
That's a little different.
That's a great point. Yes. That's a great point. Explain how it worked.
And... Well, so I was very privileged because when Body Worlds came here, Body Worlds was produced in Germany. So the original Body Worlds was done by Gunther von Hagen. So he is the person who developed the process and the method for preserving the human bodies that were put on exhibition. And then later on, companies in China kind of copied his procedures and methods. That became a little controversial where those bodies came from in China. Now, Gunther's people, you know, that they used, because he was so well renowned and used so much for scientific purposes, for education.
He had high integrity.
He did. And people signed up. He had thousands of people that signed up to give their bodies for science. He had a waiting list.
What?
Wow.
Really? People wanted their bodies donated to science. Now, in China, that was a little bit controversial because there was, you know, rumors that these people were from concentration, well, not concentration camps, but people that were executed, things like that. Now, I don't know how true that is, but that was what was rumored, that the bodies
there
were.
There was a lot of controversy around this exhibit. There was.
And not as much the German, you know, excuse me, because there was, they actually had, you could sign up even when it was at the museum, you could sign up for donating your body. They actually had lists.
And Wendy, you went to Germany to see it, right?
Excuse me. I apologize for getting a little bit of a dry throat here. So yes, I became very good friends with the people that when they came here, I spent a lot of time with them. And so they got to really trust me. And I actually worked on one of the figures when it became damaged. Okay. And so that's what you're talking about, where I actually worked on it. I didn't, you know, I was very blessed in that they trusted me enough to do that. And what happened is the ring man, which is... But the man that was a gymnast, and he was out holding rings like this, through all of the weight and time, his abdominal muscles buckled.
Oh, wow.
So he literally was, you know, his head was folded over. So I had developed, I figured a way to cut those abdominal muscles out, and using silicone materials and steel rods, actually cut that the abdominal muscles out and then put them back together.
Wow.
So they trusted me to do that. But the cool thing was, when I did go to Germany, I did go to the factory, I did see where they made these bodies, and that was fascinating. And if I have time after the break, I'd love to explain that, because that was wild. Please.
I want to ask you, is it creepy?
Yes.
Or is it? Okay. I was going to give you the potential for an alternate answer, but there's got to be a creepy element.
Absolutely.
To it.
In the factory. Yes. You know, and I've got a strong stomach. I am used to pretty much everything, but it is a little bit and when it comes to human bodies.
I can't imagine. We're going to talk more about that. I'm excited. We're going to talk about King Tut's horses.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the new museum, and we're going to talk about food, because great food is awesome.
And there'll be nothing too good for you. I'll dress you in silks and satins in latest Paris style. All the blues you'll be getting, you'll be forgetting. There'll be no fretting, nothing but smiles, honey. Come along with me. There's the place. Don't be a fool. Come along. Come along. There's a boat that's leaving soon for New York. Come along with me. That's where we belong. Yes, sister. That's where we belong.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's executive order to dismantle the Department of Education will impact tens of millions of Americans paying back student loans. The Department of Education currently oversees more than $1.5 trillion in student loans. The White House says those loans will now be handled by the Small Business Administration. Bankrate's Andrew Pentis says for borrowers, the best advice now.
Certainly, student loan refinancing and consolidation with a private lender is an option. But for most federal student loan borrowers, it's best to wait right now and wait till the dust settles, because once you do refinance with a private lender, you'll give up any of those federal loan protections that are key to repayment.
On social media this morning, the president called people vandalizing Tesla dealerships terrorists, as many have criticized Elon Musk's involvement in the government. Two 19-year-olds and a 16-year-old are dead after a shooting at a park in Las Cruces, New Mexico, that left 14 others hurt. That Friday shooting still under investigation. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Badgers basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's Wisconsin against the Brigham Young Cougars. Tonight in the NCAA basketball tournament, Badgers head coach Greg Gard asked what team in the Big Ten reminds him of BYU.
Ourselves, for one. Illinois, a little bit. Illinois shoots a lot of threes. I think BYU may have even more shooters than Illinois. Obviously, for any team that's playing right now is really good.
The tip-off at 6:25. Marquette's season is over. The Golden Eagles lost to New Mexico by 9, 75-66. Head coach Shaka Smart on letting the game slip away.
When we took the lead in the second half, we could really feel a level of momentum. We weren't able to win that next swing minute, and just some mistakes that cost us on both ends of the floor.
In hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers women's hockey team skated to a 6-2 win over Minnesota last night. They'll face Ohio State tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock for the national championship in Minneapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice start to the weekend. Sunny skies with highs in the upper 30s today. For tonight, increasing clouds with snow possibly mixing with some freezing rain late, a low near 24. A mixed bag on Sunday. Rain, snow, some freezing rain possible, and breezy with a high near 40. Right now, it's 19 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County, but they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the director of a new documentary called A Road at Night, John Roach. And then actor Ezekiel Drews joins the show to talk about a fun new musical. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I
see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Hey, Race to Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors, the great state of Wisconsin. You can hear us throughout the state on your civic media stations at 11:30 a.m. Saturdays. We're so thrilled you're here with us, man, especially today. What a fantastic guest. My name is Joel Clayfish. I'm sitting alongside Danielle Fairman, Ellie Mae Lawton, our chefferie, official chef of Raised in Wisco, and the highlight, the superstar of the show today, Wendy Christensen, taxidermy to the stars. She is responsible for Samson, the world fame acclaimed gorilla from the zoo, living eternally in the Wisconsin Historical Museum. We were talking about Body Worlds. Body Worlds, yes. For those of you who don't know what it is a traveling exhibit that consists of human bodies. Controversial, so when it came cool. out.
I thought when we first started talking about this, I thought it was a recreation, like not even close to being a human. I thought it was just not necessarily the wax thing, but just foam that you, nope.
No, it's straight up real.
Yep, now
no,
I'm even more creeped out.
Straight up body.
So, you were creeped out before and you thought they were fake.
It's so weird.
And I have to tell you, I mean, just evidenced by like the Dahmer show on Netflix being like the number one show for weeks on end. People are fascinated by this stuff, Wendy.
Sure.
And I asked you, I was going to give you another option. Like I was going to say, is it creepy or is it just kind of normal? And you said, yep, it's creepy. Right off the bat. You worked on some of the Body Worlds and you got to go to Germany, where the original Body Worlds were put together with human bodies. Yes. And you said, man, I can't wait to tell you about it. I can't wait to hear about it. What was that like?
Well, the reason I went there is because I became very good friends with a couple of the people from Germany, and they invited me actually over to hunt, which was really cool.
Even better.
Yeah, that was even better. I became really good friends with one of the guys, and he is he has access to a hunting area. And so I hunted over there and had a great time. And he is very active in the recoloring of the people. You don't really realize that
recoloring
of the human bodies. Wow. Yeah, because they fade. So he's an artist. Yeah. So I got to see the process.
We're not talking about like a tan fade.
And it's a very, very, very guarded secret. So I can't tell you a whole lot about this, even though, but
I don't think I'll be painting humans.
I know.
Got it.
But I was kind of sworn to secrecy.
I mean, are we allowed to even laugh about this?
I'm sure we are. So I don't think this isn't broadcasting in Germany.
We never know. We're on worldwide.
But anyhow, I was very privileged to be able to be with him behind the scenes. So I not only got to see what the public sees, which is very cool. It's a factory. It's a big factory that Gunther bought for $1 after the war. So if you see the building, there's bullet holes all over.
Wow.
You know, the building was not completely restored or anything, and they could buy it for $1. And anyhow, there's these bodies are all in different processes. And the first thing you walk in, and I'm sorry if I'm going to gross people out here.
Let's do it.
Okay. So the first thing you see is this young man. He's about 20 years old, and he's got a woman's torso from the legs, from her thighs to her waist. And she's been preserved in formaldehyde. And she's flipping her up this way, and he's flipping her around this way, and he's dissecting all of the individual strands of her muscles.
Oh, wow.
And he's showing and explaining to the public. So this part's open to the public.
Whoa.
And he's, you know, processing this to explain the different musculature, you know, and the separating the veins and the arteries and everything.
Wow.
And it's setting it up for a scientific study.
That's
and then
awesome.
you walk into the next room. and there's a body that's being preserved to show this and that and whatever.
So there was a great deal of education.
It's 100% educational. So as you're going through these different rooms, and most of this is open to the public. So my friend says, okay, we're going to go into a room now that's not open to the public.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay. So we walk in, and here's a woman's covered in a sheet. And he pulls back the sheet, and here's this lovely woman that is some kind of ethnicity that I wasn't really sure who what her ethnicity was. Mm-hmm. But she had had some kind of a surgical procedure because she still had a tracheotomy in her throat.
Okay.
And she was, no, you have to understand these bodies are all preserved to show something in their dissections. It might be showing the arterial system. They might be showing the lungs. They're all dissected.
Ligaments.
Yes, all for different processes. And she was skinned from the neck down, and her wrists were skinned to her wrists. Her hands were intact. Mm-hmm. Her feet were intact. And for some reason, they left her areolas unskinned. Yeah. Other than that, her face was intact. And if you look, this is what struck home. She had a cross tattoo on her forehead. And she had purple nail polish on.
Purple nail polish. Wow.
And it just like really, really struck you that this is somebody's mother or somebody's daughter or somebody's. Yeah. It was just really.
A real human
being. It's a real human being. And this is somebody who had a struggle. Oh, and she had had breast implants. So somebody that had had breast cancer.
Okay.
So the implants were because she had had a mastectomy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it just really struck home. Mm-hmm.
Did that give you a kind of a renewed or new or impressed commitment to the integrity of the work you were doing?
Absolutely. And to the integrity of Body World.
Yeah.
Because now then you go into the next room and it's all a room of diseased lungs.
Interesting.
A disease, heart, yeah. And then, and then you go into the next room and it's a whole room of penises. Wow. I am dead serious. It is huge factory. Wow. And huge, you know, and each room is showing most of them are for doctors and for nurses and for educational purposes for the medical field.
Sure.
It was fascinating. But what, and then there was whole areas for animals. They had an entire swimming pool, a giant swimming pool, giant outside one for that they had a giraffe in there.
What?
Huh. Oh.
You know, and they were, you know, that had been actually in there for quite a few years. But, and then there was, excuse me if I have back. I don't know if I'm talking into the microphone too loud here, but they had rooms then where they were, had these people set up and they're kind of flayed open how they were showing different segments that they were trying to depict.
Heart, lungs.
Yeah, but even more than that, they had them opened up, and then they'll had the vascular system pulled out separate from the.
That is the coolest thing ever. I want to go.
It was really, really neat. But then what they do is they inject a rubber, a material that they encase. And I apologize that I don't know more scientifically how to explain it, but they encase this whole person in a tent, in a plastic tent, and they, once they've got all of the materials that they've, and again, these are all proprietary materials, so I don't know exactly what they are, mm-hmm. but once they've got the person all set up, they take that whole tent and put a gas in there that sets this material and makes it into a rubber. So when you feel the skin and the actual muscle, it's rubber.
Wow.
Huh. Wow.
So it's pretty fascinating.
Gosh, that is fascinating.
But smelling this formaldehyde this whole time, I physically was sick to my stomach by the time I left. It just
imagine that. The smell of formaldehyde. So go back to your high school, class.
Anatomy, biology. Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the frog dissection, that scent hits you your stomach goes queasy.
Plus, it was a little bit of this, I'm not real great with human I can see all kinds of animal stuff, but seeing all these human bodies.
Oh, gosh, that sounds absolutely interesting to me. Every part of that.
Yes.
Well, I want to ask you, let's talk about, I'm an Egyptophile a little bit. Mm-hmm. I love Egyptian history and culture and what we have such fantastic remains of the Egyptian culture in the pyramids and hieroglyphics. You got to work on King Tut's horses?
Yes.
What on earth?
Well, we did an exhibit called Crossroads of Civilization, and it's our most recent, the latest permanent exhibit that the museum did. And the centerpiece that we did of this exhibit is King Tut and his horses. And we did a lot of research to do this as accurately as we could. And my task was to create King Tut's two stallions that would have pulled his chariot.
Wow.
And then we had other artists that did the chariot and other artists that did King Tut. So we were, it's a collaboration. And they actually have a video playing outside of the exhibit that shows how I made them. So
yeah, I watched the video. I feel amazing.
Like I can tell your story for you. I watched that thing multiple times. I'm so excited about this. I don't care. I'll stalk her. She's awesome.
She's fun to stalk, actually.
She's so fascinating.
So it was fun because they filmed, as they did Samson, when I made Samson, they filmed the whole process so people could kind of follow and watch. And it's fun because it gives a lot of idea how things are done. But it was a lot of research was involved because the ancient Arabians were a little bit different than our modern horses. So I had to do a lot of research on that part of it. So they actually buried horses with King Tut. So that's how and the chariots themselves, I believe, if I remember right, there were like six chariots that were buried with him. And each one was slightly different. So we did a lot of research to get the chariots right, too.
Sure.
We tried to make them as accurately, too, as bending the spokes and everything the way that they would have. We had to hire experts to bend the hickory and everything to make the spokes the way they would have done it. And we put a rawhide and everything around them and used birch and everything the way that they did with the chariots that were done there. But anyhow, so what I did with the horses, once I got the dimensions, I actually went to a horse farm in New Berlin that had Arabians, and I found a mare that was very similar, took dimensions, and then I found a horse mannequin that I chopped up, cut lengthwise, widthwise, everything, cut it to be similar, and then I changed it to the pose the way I wanted. I wanted one happy, I wanted one sassy, I had it all figured out how I wanted it. And then I sculpted all the hair after I put it back together. I sculpted all of the hair in epoxy, hard epoxy that I could texture the way I wanted it.
That part of the video was fascinating when you did the hair. Oh, wow, that blew my mind.
Thank you. I used real horse manes and tails and
eyelashes.
And eyelashes.
So beautiful.
Thank you. And then I came back and textured it all, painted it. Painted them and used glass eyes, airbrushed and hand painted. I had a friend that helped me that did some of the painting too. We did them together and on the painting part of it. And then we had, put them all together. And I don't know how much more to explain. It was,
another part that I love is that you actually thought about everybody, meaning kids. You had one of the horses actually looking down to be at a kid's level. You think about everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. What a fascinating life. This is segment two, show number two with Wendy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to officially on the air ask you if you will come back again because we're going to do a segment three with you. And it's actually going to have to do a lot more with your hunting experiences
travel.
Because I'm a true believer that life's about experiences, not things. And the things you have should remind you of your experiences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like
and
that.
Taxidermy is the number one way I think you can be reminded of an experience that you've had, which is so fascinating. You like to eat? We're going to come back. We're going to have our recipes of the week. We've got Chef Ellie Mae Lawton in the house with us, and Danielle's got a heck of a recipe to talk about this week.
Yeah, she does.
As well. Boy, Raised and Whisko's a cooking show, ain't it?
I watch them grow. They're like much more. And I never knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Winter is out and winning is in. It's our Break in the Spring statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. Your daily shot at a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. And every entry gets you closer to the grand prize, a brand new Verlo Queen mattress set complete with a mattress, sheets, protector, and pillows. Download the Civic Media app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Choose your station, then get set to win starting Monday, March 24th. It's time to break into spring with WBZH. Matt and Air on Air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Pocan.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Just dig that scenery floating by. We're now approaching Newport, Rhode Island. We've been for years in variety. Charlie Knickerbocker, now we're going to be in high, so high society, high society. Yes, I wanna play for my former band.
Hey, Raised in Wisco wouldn't be the show it is if we didn't go from talking about taxidermying actual human bodies into our cooking and eating segment.
What? Boy, do I have a recipe for you guys.
Boy, do I have a recipe for you. It takes me right back.
Animal sandwiches?
Yeah. Oh, Wendy, you did not go back to cannibal sandwiches.
I hope you never eat a cannibal sandwich the same way.
I could
go for one right now, actually.
No, right now.
Never.
Yeah, with some rye.
Like, have you tried that olive? Oh, I can still taste it.
You didn't like that olive?
No, that was the
Danielle. Get out of here with that bad attitude.
It was disgusting.
Oh, cannibal
I would eat a cannibal sandwich.
With an olive?
With some raw onions, salt and pepper, and
rye
a little
bread.
Limburger cheese on it. I would put a little Limburger, a little stinky foot cheese. Yep. Stinky.
What's that brain cheese?
Head cheese. Head cheese, not brain cheese. Sweetbreads is what you're talking. Oh my gosh. We're getting off track in the cooking segment.
Oh, weird.
We're talking about food.
Wendy Christensen is here. She taxidermied Samson. She worked on Body Worlds, the human body exhibit that traveled to other country in the world. And she is fascinating. And we're going to go into the food segment because there is so many great things to eat right now. And I'm just really excited about it. Chef Ellie Mae Lawton is here. What a privilege it is, really, honestly, to have a radio show and have a designated culinary French,
yes,
certified French chef on the show.
Thanks, Joel. That's the nicest thing you ever said to me.
Well, it's not a high bar.
True statement.
Be
the
careful.
Things,
I cook for you guys. I have a lot of power here.
I love you.
I take it back.
Next cannibal sandwich.
Joel,
<Yeah. laughs> we'll just take like some of your calf muscle or something.
Ooh, that got dark in a hurry. Holy cow. Holy cow. Well,
this
be
well
marbled.
Like Wagyu.
Why Joel?
And my question is, why goo there?
That's the best.
In the fishbowl.
She's like, I'm over it. I'm done.
Joel, that was the best dad joke.
Thank you.
You're welcome for the setup.
Oh, all right. Chef Lawton.
Yeah, what's our recipe
today? What are we talking about?
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about a recipe that we were going to go over a couple weeks ago, but we ran out of time because we got sidetracked.
Weird.
I can't believe that.
And then Danielle also is going to talk about something that she brought for us tonight to dine on, which was fabulous. So my recipe for the week is Canada Goose stir fry that Joel and I actually made out on the ice a couple weeks ago.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah, that wonderful event.
For Provider. Yep, yes. For the Provider series. Yep. That was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
So that was so good. So we started with Canada Goose breast that I chunked and marinated overnight in buttermilk, hoisin sauce, soy sauce, lime juice, right wing sauce, and the Provider spice fowl. Yes, that was everything. Next day, pulled it out. I tenderized each piece, and then we just sautéed them in some garlic butter out on the ice on a cast iron pan. Yum. And then we put that meat. Oh, it was so tender, you guys. It was wonderful.
It was unbelievable. People say Canada Goose is the toughest thing to make taste good. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great. So we put that on top of rice noodles and then stir-fried vegetables. We had some shredded purple cabbage, red onion, garlic. We made a little hoisin sauce to go with it. What else do we have on that? Cilantro, carrots. Phenomenal. We had beach mushrooms. Fresh jalapenos.
Yes, and Charlie Osborne and VJ Scully were our sous chefs for that
day.
Yes,
we had some sous chefs.
It was
the
last
ice
of the season.
Oh, yes, because the along the shoreline
along
was breaking out. You like, nope,
had broken
not
yeah,
already.
And Joel actually fell through the first
foot. Through. Big surprise.
Yeah.
Hey, what's that fat guy doing on the ice? There he goes. Does he need any help? No, it's only waist deep. How come he can't get out?
He's
hey,
just going
just
out to cook
step
food.
Out, Joel.
Just stand up.
Just get out of the water,
just
Joel.
Get out of the water.
Yeah, so that was our recipe. Danielle, I want to get you ready, tee you up for your recipe for tonight. Can you tell us about what you made?
Oh, the alligator. The alligator.
That was good.
It was good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really unbelievable. So tender. Delicious. Danielle made alligator bacon skewers.
I did.
Tell us how you did it.
So the alligator bacon skewers, I am a skewer kind of gal. So you can marinate the gator in milk for a few hours prior and just season it with the crosshair seasoning.
Ooh, that's
from,
a good one.
From
yeah,
the provider.
One of my favorites.
And then you just stick it on some bacon, put it on a skewer, and then butter and Blackstone. Bada
it was
bing, bada boom,
so
all done.
Good.
How long did you cook it on the Blackstone?
I cooked it for about 5 minutes on both sides, just until the bacon was good.
Yeah,
the
it almost
internal
had like a little char.
Yeah, the internal temperature of alligators must be 160 degrees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just found that out today, so that's fun. And then I squeezed some lemon on it because you guys told me to try things, so I did.
You made a sauce that was killer, too.
I did. It was the right wing sauce, mayonnaise, ketchup, Worcestershire sauce, and some lemon.
So buffalo, mayonnaise, ketchup, lemon.
And then
phenomenal.
I added the seasoning that I use on the gator inside there. So it all correlates.
We never get through a cooking segment without mentioning right wing sauce in one of the components. Yeah. Just so everybody knows. If you have not had right wing sauce, it is the best.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Danielle, that was fabulous.
That's my own personal recipe. So I take that as a very high compliment, especially coming from an eater like Danielle and a chef like Ellie.
And Danielle, that was a gator that you harvested yourself.
It was.
Yeah.
And I was there with you and it was wonderful.
That was fantastic. And we're going to take some folks back out gator hunting this year. And we're going to have another show. I Wendy Christensen, I cannot thank you enough for being here. You're fascinating.
Thank you.
Stories. I'm gonna beg you to come back on the show because you are really something else.
We'll cook.
Danielle Fairman, co-host of Raised in Wisco. Ellie Mae Lawton, she is the chef-ree, the certified French chef of the show. My name's Joel Clayfish. We love having you along on Raised in Wisco. Thank you so much for being part of our crew. If you got questions, send them in. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
Your son and high society.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will take a look at our NCAA basketball brackets after weekend number one. Also, the news of the weekend. Get you caught up. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sieverton. The police department confirms to ABC News three people are dead and 14 others injured from the mass shooting last night at Young Park in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
1143 Central, we have multiple gunshot victims.
Police radio from Grotesquefy, no arrests yet. The Trump administration targeting a new set of migrants for deportations, says ABC News senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
The Trump administration says that as soon as next month, they are revoking the legal status of more than 500,000 migrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. If they don't leave after losing their status, they could be targets for deportation.
More vandalism against Teslas. Three people charged for allegedly hurling gasoline bombs at Tesla vehicles across three states. Measles cases nationwide are more than the total for all of last year. Officials say most of the cases are in Texas and New Mexico, most not vaccinated or unknown vaccination status. This is ABC News. The search